Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome along to the La Liga Lowdown podcast. Campeones, of course, as you heard there, Barcelona celebrating their league title, a hard-fought league title, but they have managed to do it with four games remaining. I'm joined by Roman de Alquer. I'm Ruri Barlow, your host for today. Roman, as a culé, this has got to feel a pretty sweet evening to watch Barcelona clinch a league title on Espanyol soil.
It is definitely a great moment. I mean, you can see how the players were celebrating, are still celebrating as we record, because it's a massive title. Many of these guys, don't forget, are really young players who don't know what it's like to win a La Liga title. So for them, it's of course a massive achievement. And of course, others have been waiting for quite a while now. Taking into account Barca have really struggled to get here once again. And of course, it was a bit disappointing to see how it ended in the stadium with all the fans jumping in, which I thought was a terrible scene to see, you know, when a game ends. But it's what happens when, you know, radicals are around the pitches and don't like what they're seeing. And I can understand they were a bit unhappy with that, because in the end it is their eternal rivals, we could say, celebrating in their ground. But it's football, you won a title. I know it hurts to see those images, but come on, just let it happen. They're going to go in a couple of minutes and things move on, and Espanyol have to focus on other stuff. But really happy for Barca on that end, because we deserve this title, absolutely.
Yes, as you mentioned at the end there, Barcelona were partaking in a sardana. They were dancing on the pitch, celebrating their title, which I think a lot of people were saying it was insensitive on Twitter, but I mean, it was 2-3 minutes after a title was won. Pretty understandable from my point of view. I don't think that they were taking the piss, for want of a better word. I think it was pretty okay. But
yeah, no, in fact, I wanted to add that in La Liga TV, one of the analysts was saying that Barca was like kind of lacking respect and doing it. You wouldn't want people to do that in your own home. But I mean, we can't really compare it. We're talking about a team that just won a title. They're celebrating. And I mean, they have all the right to do so. I mean, it's disrespectful. Maybe it is, but I mean, they just won a league. You know, it's one of the biggest achievements a club can actually get. So I mean, if they had been there for like 3 hours, you know, start cutting the nets of the goals, start taking parts of the pitch to like a memory, then of course I would understand that that's disrespectful. But celebrating and jumping in the middle of the field is something everyone expected, taking into account that Barca, we all knew, that could win the title there at the RCD Stadium. It was a thing that could perfectly take place. It did. And I mean, as I said, move on, you know, because Espanyol have to focus on other stuff, which is saving themselves and not on Barca celebrating.
Yeah, plenty to come on the rest of the show. We've got Real Madrid, Atleti, Atleti offers of one of the shocks of the season, it has to be said, but the European race as well had some exciting twists on the relegation battle. But we will be spending, of course, most of this first half of the show on Barcelona because, yeah, it's a massive achievement, isn't it? I mean, Xavi took over this team in ninth place, well documented. He was 12 points off the league leaders. Now Barcelona are about that distance off Real Madrid, and they've won the league title about just over 18 months on. I mean, he's had reinforcements. This is a different team, but Xavi has to take a lot of credit for this, and I think he's had his criticism this season, that's fair to say, but he deserves his praise, doesn't he, Roman?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not easy, you know, to come in a club like Barcelona. Xavi had very high expectations. I remember before becoming a manager, people were saying he'd be the new Guardiola. So, I mean, all that pressure on you isn't easy at all. And, I mean, the new Guardiola, let's not kid ourselves. That's practically impossible. I mean, Xavi has done what he can with what he has. Of course, Barca did spend a lot of money in the summer transfer market to make a good team for him. And it's a fact that Barca did disappoint in the Champions League, of course, and in Europe, in the Europa League. But at least, you know, he got the job done in La Liga, and it's been a long time since 2019, since we won the last title. So, I mean, that deserves a lot of credit. It's 50% his, of course, as well as the players, because, you know, he has to keep them motivated. And it wasn't easy, especially this last run where we had a big gap, but we weren't really... Well, we were playing for the title, but at the same time, it's not easy, you know, to face sides when you know that it's practically done. And Xavi had to keep them motivated, keep them playing well, and he got them to do really well, because I thought it was going to be a much tougher game at Espanyol. I know Espanyol are doing really badly, they're really poorly this season, but I thought they would really be a bigger problem. I didn't expect Barca to get three so quickly in the first half and practically just seal the title. And in that sense, a bit disappointed with what I saw from Espanyol, but credit to Xavi, because he managed to get the team super motivated to just finish this off there and not have to worry for what's left and enjoy the title for the next upcoming weeks.
Yeah, Barcelona were rampant against Espanyol. We should say the results. They beat Espanyol 4-2. They were pretty comfortable. Lewandowski with a brace. Alejandro Balde got on the score sheet as well. And it was a relatively easy game for Barcelona. They'd had 5 days off before the match. And Xavi had said that it had slightly ticked him off, that his pride was a little bit hurt when people were saying that they don't train enough. And they came out and gave a fairly kind of rotund response to that. I think for me, one of the things to highlight about Xavi and this Barcelona league season, this title win, is just, even if Barcelona haven't played brilliant football throughout, this is a side that's been through a lot of upheaval. I mean, we forget that Barcelona started off 2 seasons ago under Koeman with Memphis Depay as a star. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang came in, scored sort of 13 goals and was then the star, and then they moved on to Robert Lewandowski. He's had kind of three different main forwards during his time. You've had a lot of upheaval in the squad. You've had Dembélé, that he's recovered. You've had the defence coming in. He's built a defence in the space of less than a season. It took about 3 months for Barcelona to discover that defensive solidity, which is not kind of usual for a lot of teams. And yeah, it's a young team. It's a unequal team. The likes of Alejandro Balde have come through and have become a major part of this side and given them sort of a threat on the left-hand side, which has allowed them to kind of get rid of a forward and make them a more solid side. So I think between all of the upheaval in the team and off the pitch, we know Barcelona have had a lot of problems with money. We know they've had the Casa Negreira to deal with, and there's various other topics, but this is a modern news cycle that does not rest, and Barcelona seem to always be at the heart of it. And Xavi, he's backed up by the fact that he is who he is, that he has his reputation, but I think it's been a pretty remarkable job of keeping Barcelona's football team focused on the football, and Frankie de Jong in particular as well is another point I want to highlight, because I think before this last summer you could kind of make a good argument for selling him, especially if you got a kind of offer of 70-80 million. Now I don't think many Barcelona fans would like to see him go, and he managed to keep De Jong on side despite the club's kind of pretty clear attempts to sell him. So yeah, there's my kind of my credit to Xavi, my kudos to him. In terms of kind of players and on the pitch, who do you think have been kind of the architects of this title win, Roman? Who's really stood out for you, and where have Barcelona made the difference this season?
Well, I think you pointed it out. For me, the main difference was defensively. And that starts, of course, with Ter Stegen at the back. I think this was easily, I'd say, his best season for me. I mean, he's had other really good seasons. But it's true that, of course, he had a dip recently in form. He wasn't the goalkeeper we signed at first, you know, and we were hoping to have. And he was capable of coming back from that. And this season, I think he's been fundamental, you know. I mean, in La Liga, we've just conceded 13 goals. And he's to blame in big part, you know. He's made some incredible saves. Of course, today they put two past him, unfortunately, two, the first one being a golazo from Puado. We can give him a lot of credit for that. But I mean, despite that, Ter Stegen has been there when we've needed him in La Liga, you know, in important moments. And for me, he's definitely one we have to mention. Then, of course, I think it's hard to point out one man in defense. Of course, I think Araujo comes to mind for many of us, because he has been a leader at the back. But I think in the end, it's been a collective effort, you know. I mean, Balde has been also a very good. Christensen, when he's come on, he's really done well. We've had, of course, Koundé, who's had his ups and downs, but, you know, he's been quite good also. And we can even say Marcos Alonso, of course, had his mistakes, but he had some also really good performances, surprisingly, at the back defensively. So, I mean, as a whole, I think I'd like to point out those players, and then those players at the back, and then of course we could mention Pedri, who of course was out for a while. But I mean, while he's there, you can really tell there's a big difference, you know. During his injury, Barca wasn't looking as good. We're really struggling, lacking a bit of creativity, a bit of goal, and then he's been back, and in a couple of games we've recovered a really good version of ourselves. So definitely he could be one to mention in the midfield. And then up front, I think it's true that Robert hasn't been as good after the World Cup, because I mean that took a lot of energy from him, but still he's scored the goals we needed a striker like him, because Memphis did what he could, other strikers have done what they could, but since Messi, we were missing really a guy who could get those relevant goals in La Liga. And Lewandowski has really performed well there, and hopefully he can keep this up next season. There won't be any World Cup in between that should affect him in that sense. Of course, he will grow a year older, but I mean, he's in really good physical shape, so I hope he'll be playing at a good level. And if Messi decides to come in the end, that could be a very, very interesting connection to watch out for. But for me, I guess these are the three players I'd pick for this season.
Yes, you mentioned Messi there. There were chants of Messi's name at Canaletas, which is like the fountain where Barcelona go to celebrate their title wins on La Rambla, and yeah, it's an interesting prospect for next season. Obviously, Xavi said in his kind of post-match presser, he said this is a team still in construction, we still have to make improvements. Joan Laporta has promised signings previously, but did again so tonight before he went and got soaked in the dressing room and was very much at the heart of celebrations. His finger is at times endearing, at other times clownish, it could be said, but I think most Barcelona fans will give him a pass tonight, getting soaked in the dressing room with the players. And coming on to kind of Barcelona, obviously in Europe they've disappointed, but I think if I want to highlight a key moment for me, and I'll come on and ask you your key moments kind of in the next kind of seconds or so. But for me, the key moment was that kind of Bernabeu, that Camp Nou Clásico, when they won 2-1 against kind of, I want to say, all the odds in inverted commas, because Real Madrid knew that they needed to win. They had more resources than Barcelona available. Barcelona were missing Pedri, they were missing Dembélé, who are their two sources of creation. Frank Kessié came on and scored the winner in that game late on, and it was a tight game, but it was a game that Barcelona came through. And I think in previous seasons you'd see that they probably just wouldn't have made it through, and obviously they had the Copa del Rey kind of defeat after that. But on the whole, being able to face up to Real Madrid, having the self-confidence to say we are just as good as these guys, and in some cases better, I think that is the key difference that has been instilled in this Barcelona from this season to last. I don't know if you have kind of thoughts on your key moments, Roman.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to mention towards the end of, well, not the end so much, last year, it was more towards October, November, when Barca came from that really horrible streak when they lost against Real Madrid 3-1 in their stadium, and they lost 3-0 against Bayern at home in the Camp Nou, of course. And I felt that could be a really decisive moment, in the sense that Barca could completely collapse, or recover themselves, you know, and get back to a good level and prove that they were still in contention, at least for La Liga, of course. And I think they did, they were capable of reacting, basically. And I think they did well to not let that get to them too much, because it's been a lot of struggle, especially in Europe, and that can, of course, affect a lot of the players mentally. Somehow they kind of pull through, and I think there Xavi deserves a lot of credit, you know. I guess from his experience and all he's lived as a player, he was capable of getting his players to actually believe that things weren't over, there was still a long way to go. And from there on, I kind of felt there was a reaction. Of course, there were better moments, worse moments. There's lots of ups and downs during a season. With Xavi as a manager this season, we've seen some very, very good versions of Barca playing fantastic football and some very mediocre versions, we could say. So, I mean, we know the potential is there. We know that we can play very good football, but there's that need to find that consistency, we could say, especially when we're talking about Europe. That's where maybe there's a lot to improve, and there's margin of improvement, as I just said. So, I mean, if he can kind of fix that and change that mentality a bit, then I think next season we will definitely be able to do a bit more and take it a step further, you know, of course, making it past the group stage and being a bit more competitive. But this is a step there, you know. The La Liga is definitely going to give them a big chunk of confidence to a lot of these players, especially who are young, who've never experienced stuff like this. And from here on, we have to keep on building and improving the squad, as you mentioned, that Xavi wants a few more players to come in and to improve what we have. And from there on, I mean, we should be optimistic and believe that we can do a lot better.
On that theme, I'm going to come on to you in 2 seconds. I'm going to ask you for the wish and a worry for Barcelona's summer, looking ahead and looking forward. For the summer, what's the one thing you want to happen, and what's the one thing that you're concerned might happen at Barcelona?
Well, my wish, I know a lot of people might not agree, but it has to be Messi. I mean, I can't avoid thinking that he could come back, you know, and that have that last dance, as people like to say, from the Michael Jordan documentary, you know, and get his opportunity to end things in a better way. I mean, it's sad to see how things are going for him in PSG, all the booing. I think a guy like Messi just does not deserve that. And it's just heartbreaking for a Barca fan and a Messi fan, you know, to see this taking place. So, I mean, I'd love to see him come back, probably not to finish his career, because I imagine he'd maybe want to try some other experiences in the future, but definitely my wish is to see Messi back once again. And my concern, I mean, it's not a specific concern, but it goes like in general, in the sense that we know that Barca's fair play situation is still very, very delicate. And I'm worried that we might have to sell a player that maybe we don't want to, or we don't need to sell, we shouldn't sell. I mean, for example, a Frenkie de Jong, as you mentioned, he's been fantastic this season. He's proven everybody who doubted him wrong. The fact is that he was about to leave. He was very close. There was a lot of pressure on him, not just from Manchester, but from Barcelona within, to get him out. So, for example, if the club doesn't manage to sell the players they'd want to for the money they'd want to, or bring down the salaries they intend to do, then we might have to sell a player like Frenkie de Jong, who right now is going to have even more contenders than maybe last season, you know, because he's had an incredible year. So that kind of worries me, you know, if we had to sell him. Araujo, for example, I think that's a bit more of a difficult case. I think that would be very extreme. But, you know, there is a possibility that a club offers you 100 million euros for Araujo, which, of course, is still unlikely, but it could happen. And then you'd get rid of a very important piece. Agabi, for example, which I understand many people wouldn't mind letting go for a good sum of money. But at the same time, I think he's part of our future. So these kind of things are the things that worry me a bit more in terms of Barca's financial situation, and something surprising, as you know, and breaking a bit that optimism we have towards next season. That's what I'm worried most about.
Fascinating stuff. Well, we will draw part one to a close there. We do have plenty to come on to, as we were saying. We've got Atleti, who went down in a shock defeat. We've got Real Madrid, who, of course, have a Champions League semi-final. And, a big defeat for Athletic Club, a draw for Real Sociedad, all of which makes that European race all the more interesting. So don't go anywhere, we'll be back in just a second.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the La Liga Lowdown podcast. We are discussing Barcelona's title win, but there's plenty more going on in La Liga to discuss as well. We spoke about the European races, obviously big results down at the bottom as well, because every single week is crucial down at the bottom. I'm going to kind of drive through the Madrid teams very, very quickly here. Real Madrid beat Getafe 1-0 with a Marco Asensio goal. Not much to report on here. I'll give you two quick hits. Firstly, I want your thoughts on kind of their Champions League tie against Manchester City, because that's what we're all interested in. And then I also want to hear just a kind of brief summary of where you thought kind of Real Madrid not lost the league, but certainly didn't win it this season.
Well, firstly, regarding, of course, the Champions League, I think it was pretty clear that Madrid didn't mind too much what happened this game. Of course, Ancelotti rotated a lot of players. He did leave some, unexpectedly, some players that you might have thought he would rest were there and did play. Of course, I understand that they prefer to finish on top of Atletico Madrid, and at the moment they're going to achieve their objective, given what happened between Atletico and Elche. But clearly the focus was on Manchester City, and I do think they have an opportunity, because in the end, Real Madrid and the Champions League are a team you just can't not trust, you know. Even if they lose 3-0 the first leg, anything could happen. But it's true that the away game being at the Etihad Stadium, I think, takes a little bit away of that possible favoritism Madrid might have. If it had been in the Bernabeu, I would have said wide open, very good chance Madrid gets something out of this. But being at the Etihad, I think it'll be a bit tougher for them, but they still, of course, have a shot. The result isn't bad, the first result between both sides, so I mean, anything can happen. But honestly, I think that City are slightly favourites for this one, and I might have to eat up my own words after this, but that's what I kind of think. And regarding the league, where they slipped, it's hard to say, because Madrid were just very unpredictable this season. I think, of course, they dropped a lot of points that they shouldn't have dropped it against smaller teams compared to them, we could say. But there isn't one fixed moment, you know, because it's true that they had a very big advantage and they let that go. And I guess that maybe is their biggest mistake, you know. And somehow you thought that they would just still cling on and be there, and at any moment they could overtake Barcelona. But they just kept dropping more and more points here and there. And their form was just very irregular. Yeah, it was like one day they were playing pretty good football and looked threatening. They would go to the Champions League and smash Liverpool, whoever, but then they would come to La Liga and disappoint. So, as I said, pretty hard to say. In the end, Barca deserved the credit, but then I think it's also a bit, there's a bit to blame on their side, because I think they should have done better in this competition.
Yeah, and that was, of course, the top two that we were referring to, because Atleti dropped points. They were beaten by bottom side, already relegated Elche, 1-0 at the Martinez Valero. Fidel was the one with the goal just before halftime, which made the difference. A little bit of joy for Los Franjiverdes, who have had a really tough season, but this has to be one of the shocks of the season, because Atleti, one of the form teams in 2023, I think, nobody in the top five leagues has taken more points than them this calendar year. So yeah, going down to Elche, who we've consistently referred to as one of the worst teams in the 21st century in La Liga, nobody really saw this coming, did they, Roman?
Absolutely not. I mean, Elche have been so bad this season, and that's why they're right there at the bottom, you know. But they've managed a couple of very surprising wins, you know, like that 3-1 against Villarreal, who I think nobody saw coming. And even less, this 1-0 win against Atletico Madrid. And it was an Atleti that was coming in really good form. They had just overtaken Real Madrid recently. Griezmann playing some fantastic football. It's true that they had some important setbacks in terms of injuries and players that weren't available, such as Oblak, of course, Memphis Depay, etc. There were others that couldn't participate in this match. But still, I mean, they have enough to beat a team like Elche. And it's true that there was a big mistake from the goalkeeper in that Elche goal. Gribic coming out, you know, and touching the ball, but giving it basically to Fidel to just push it into the net. So, I mean, there is a big part. He has to take a big part of the blame, the goalkeeper. But at the same time, I think Atletico has plenty to counter that situation against Elche. But in this case, it just didn't happen for them. And now they've dropped down to third. Still a chance, of course, to get back to the second spot. But not a great look from Atletico Madrid in this case.
Yeah, it was a pretty apathetic performance from Atleti. Alvaro Morata was very much giving ammunition to those that do not believe that he should be the starting number nine for a team of Atleti's quality. And glass half full for Atleti fans. This might inspire some of your board members and some of the sporting direction at the club to act a bit with a bit more force this summer. Glass half empty, it could cost you $13 million to do so if they do finish third behind Real Madrid. So yeah, a frustrating afternoon for Atleti fans on Sunday afternoon. Just behind them, it was more frustration from Real Sociedad, who were 2-0 up at home to Girona and cruising after a really fast start to the game, and then they managed to throw away that lead. Girona ended up with 10 men after Oriol Romeo was sent off in the closing stages, but Stuani and Jan Couto got them back into the game. That means that Villarreal can cut the gap to just 5 points with 4 games to go after they thumped Athletic Club 5-1. I'll come on to you first about Real Sociedad, who... Yeah, I mean, these are the sorts of points you just really don't want to drop because they've got Atleti and Barca to come in their final 4 games.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, in the preview pod with Matt, I was basically saying that Villarreal really didn't stand a chance, you know, at getting that fourth spot because Real Sociedad, for me, had it practically done. And I still think it's very unlikely that they drop it because there is still a 5-point margin, which is pretty comfortable. And as you said, it's true that they're going to play Barca, but now Barca have won the league. Maybe there isn't that same intensity or motivation. And if we see the same version of Atletico we saw against Elche, then that might not be as a problem either. So we'll have to see how those games end up being for Real Sociedad. But it's definitely a fact that they let go of some important points here to just completely feel comfortable and know that they've got the Champions League spot in the bag. And at the same time, credit to Girona, who, I mean, it's incredible how good they are offensively. They've scored 54 goals this season. There's only 3 teams that have scored more, and that's the top three, Barca, Real Madrid and Atletico, you know. So this comes to prove that they've done really, really well this season, already in that Conference League spot, you know, overtaking Athletic Club. And there is still a shot at the Europa League if somehow Betis lose on Monday when they play and you know, and they drop some more points. Of course, it's going to be difficult, but incredible for Girona, who are going to fight to avoid relegation, and in the end they're fighting to play in Europe, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, it was an absolute thumping that the Yellow Submarine gave Athletic Club, which will be even more frustrating again because they had enough chances to go head-to-head with Villarreal in this game. But Villarreal, in sort of the opposite to what they tend to do, were absolutely clinical with their chances. Alex Baena got a double. Nico Jackson continued his fine form to get a brace as well. And it really puts the pressure on Real Sociedad a little bit if they were to kind of drop points again next week and then Villarreal were to pick up all three, then we could be in for a fascinating end to the season. You mentioned Real Betis there. They're on 52 points, so they're 10 behind La Real, but they do have a game in hand against Rayo on Monday night. Rayo are still in competition for 7th place, as you mentioned. Girona on 48, Athletic Club are behind them on 47, then Osasuna on 47, Sevilla on 47, Rayo Vallecano on 46, and Mallorca even still in the race for that 7th spot, down in 12th place on 44. Mallorca beat Cadiz 1-0 on Friday night. Pablo Maffeo with the singular goal and a battling performance. Osasuna got past Almeria 3-1 at home. Ez Abde with a lovely goal. Aymar Oroz with two brilliant assists for Ante Burmir and also Moy Gomez. And then we had, obviously, Real Madrid. There was a big result for Sevilla, 3-0 away from home at Valladolid, who are fighting for relegation. There's quite a lot of controversy in this one. Sergio Escudero had a goal. The halftime whistle went just a millisecond almost before Sergio Escudero scored. There was also a debatable red card not given to Loic Badé. There was club Twitter sort of complaint. Ronaldo Nazario, the president, came out and said this was unacceptable, that we'd be fighting against everyone and everything in these last games, though, and very much on brand for La Liga clubs complaining about referees. And then just final results, I'll wrap them up and then I'll kind of come on to you for talking points, Roman. Valencia 2-1 away from home at Celta Vigo. Huge result for Los Che. That moves them out of the relegation zone onto into 14th, 37 points. They're now 3 points clear of Getafe, who drop in. Espanyol on 31, Getafe on 34, Valladolid 35, Cadiz 35, and Almeria 36, which kind of wraps up the team still in it, even if Celta Vigo are sitting a little bit uncomfortably after that defeat. Don't know where you want to pick through the carnage of that, Roman. Is there anything in particular that caught your eye?
Well, I mean, it's impressive all the complaints that have come out from Valladolid. That was pretty surprising. I mean, I can understand they're annoyed with the situation because a goal is a goal, and it was at the 1-0 just before the halftime. But, I mean, the referee blew his whistle. It was actually 1 minute past the extra time he'd given. So, I mean, there's not really any reason to support their complaints, honestly. I mean, it is annoying. It happened right at the moment. I think the referee wasn't really aware that Scudero was coming, and as soon as he saw it, he was already blowing his whistle. You know, it's just very, very unlucky for Valladolid. I mean, let's not forget that Sevilla had a similar thing happen against Juventus the other day in Europa League, where they got the corner that came after also the extra time. So, I mean, these things happen, but there's no reason to complain for that. The red card is a different situation that they can evaluate aside, but for me, there, Valladolid don't really have the need to be complaining. And they can just take a look at Getafe, who in the end seem like they're not going to complain about that possible substitution with Marco Asensio coming off just before deciding to sub off Camavinga. There was a bit of debate whether Asensio had come off, and then so that would have meant that he wasn't allowed to be subbed, and there were 12 players or some crazy stuff there going on. But apparently Getafe, despite their critical situation, who in my opinion should be fighting for every single point they can, even if it's outside of the pitch, apparently won't go for it and will ignore the situation. So, I mean, I was saying Valladolid should kind of keep this mindset, take into account it wasn't a big of a deal, in my opinion, in the end.
And just on Valencia, huge win away from home. Justin Kluivert got the opener, Haris Seferovic equalised, but then Alberto Mari, 88th minute header, sort of thumped it in at the near post, the sort of header that we've been waiting for Edinson Cavani to be scoring all season. But again, it's the kids, it's Paterna, it's the Valencia Academy that are getting them out of jail in the same way that Javi Guerra did against Valladolid not so long ago.
Yeah, it's incredible to see the youngsters, you know, taking over and dominating. It's not something you see that often, or at least you may see one kid score a goal, but here we're seeing quite a few Valencia players from the academy stepping up and being super, super important. We're not just talking a goal that will, I don't know, be something he'll remember. This could save his club from relegation, because if we know that Valencia get relegated, it could be a disaster given who they have in charge. So, I mean, it's incredible to see how these kids are doing well, and credit to Baraja for trusting them in these critical situations. And I think Valencia here made a good choice in terms of selecting a club legend like Baraja. Not the same case as Espanyol, I'd say, who Luis García for me was a very, very risky move, taking into account he was someone who had very, very little experience coaching at a high level. So, well, none at all. So, Baraja in a way was also quite risky, but I think it was different, and at the moment it's proving to work, and they're pretty close to saving themselves.
Yeah, huge, huge, huge stuff there. And apart from Elche, the only side in that kind of relegation, well, Elche are out of the race now, but the only side in that kind of bottom section of teams to win. And so that really puts them kind of at an advantage with four games to go. We are running out of time here, so we're going to have to wrap things up, even though we could delve into the minutiae of all of these games for quite some time. Roman, I'm going to ask you for your favourite moment from Barcelona's season. It can be league-related, it can be across the Clásicos, it can be even in Europe, although I'd be somewhat surprised if that was it. But is there anything that really stood out to you that had you euphoric this season from Barcelona's title win?
Well, at the moment, I think I'm just going to go take the easy path and say the win at Espanyol. I think it's a very sweet taste for any Barca fan to win there, you know, to be able to celebrate there, even if it's for just a couple of minutes. And at the same time, knowing that you're putting Espanyol into a delicate situation, I kind of feel like that's a massive moment for most Barca fans, at least. And I'm sorry for Espanyol. I mean, I wouldn't mind if they stay up in the end, because it's always good to have Catalan sides in the first division. But at the same time, you know, it always feels good to get a result like this against your local rivals.
Yeah, I think a lot of sympathy from Barcelona fans, if they had any to begin with, went out when they saw those fans charging onto the pitch after Ronald Araujo and his company. But we will bring to an end the podcast there. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Roman for his time on the topics. And check us out on Twitter at La Liga Lowdown. We'll be covering all the celebrations in detail. And check us out on Substack as well, llonline.substack.com. And that's where we'll have all our written content over the next few days, and plenty to come with the Champions League. But on that note, we will say adeo, gaudeix, Barcelona fans and culés, and until Thursday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.